Greetings and welcome to Asia 86. This is Bob Bukema broadcasting to you from the 60,000-seat Singapore National Stadium, where we are participating in the Luis Palau Singapore Mission. Luis Palau is an Argentine-born evangelist who has been greatly used of God through evangelistic missions, radio, and television on every continent. This broadcast is part of a special Asia 86 media outreach, being heard in 9 languages throughout the Far East and by Asian communities in many parts of the world through international radio. We extend greetings on behalf of the Luis Palau Singapore Mission Executive Committee to you who are listening in English. Though it is not possible for you to be physically present with us here in this magnificent stadium, we hope that you will capture some of the spirit and excitement from the music, from the participants, and of course, in a few moments, Mr. Palau's important message. Right now, thousands of people are still pouring into this gigantic stadium on this, the opening night of the Luis Palau Singapore Mission. It's a beautiful tropical evening, and one can sense the excitement of these Singaporean believers who have worked and prayed so long for this moment. During this time of pre-service congregational singing, I'd like to provide some background for you on this lovely little country and the people who make it such a delightful place. Singapore, as you may know, is an island, but it's a nation and it's also a city. The entire country covers only 239 square miles. That's smaller than New York City, and it has a population of about 2.5 million people. Her small size belies the fact of her strategic importance, as we'll be learning through the week. Let me refresh your memory as to Singapore's location. There's a causeway less than a mile long connecting Singapore to Malaysia to the north, which in turn continues on to Thailand. Just to the south of Singapore are the major islands of Indonesia. And Singapore is just 1 degree north of the equator, and as a result, has a tropical climate. This in turn produces lush vegetation that helps Singapore have the designation of being clean and green. Her history is just as varied and as colorful as Sylvia Lee of the Mission Press Office explained to me.
Actually, before Sir Stamford Raffles came, there is a Malay, I think he's a prince, and his name is Parameswara. When he came to Singapore, he landed, he saw an animal, and he was asking the people there, what is that? And the people told him it's singa, which is lion. So that's where the Malay name Singapura came. And later, he was killed, and that was where Sir Stamford Raffles came. He came in 1819, and he named it Singapore.
So that's how Singapore got its name, City of the Lion. And as Sylvia mentioned, it was Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles who in 1819 stepped ashore and selected the island as a British maritime base. At that time, the island was populated by just a few hundred fishermen, farmers, sea nomads, and occasional traders. When Raffles saw the fine natural harbor and Singapore's strategic location, he declared, "It is a child of my own. It is impossible to conceive a place combining more advantages. It is within a week's sail of China, still closer to Siam, a great commercial emporium." His prophecy was realized as she became the clearinghouse for the region's wealth. She claims the distinction today of being the world's busiest port, with hundreds of ships at anchor at this crucial junction of the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Our arrival was at the Changi International Airport, and immediately you are impressed with the fact that there's a lot of movement through this beautiful terminal. In fact, some 40 airlines move 10 million passengers in and out of Singapore every year. And then as you leave the airport, you are impressed with the beautiful flowering plants and bushes and neatly trimmed grass. At first, you think it's just part of the airport facility, but then you realize that this beautiful boulevard continues all the way into the city. Instead of having a park in the city, as many places do, this is what's called a city in a park. And it's no wonder that people are attracted here from all over the world. The shopping is enough to delight someone with little or much to spend. And the salespeople, as a rule, speak English. They're courteous and they know their products.
And they have two alarms in one watch that you can set different alarm times. And they got an hourly signal that beep every hour.
After such an extensive advertising program for the Louise Palau Crusade, you can't help but wonder if people such as this salesman here are aware of what's about to happen in the city. Does he know about Louise Palau and the meetings?
We see the posters everywhere in Singapore, and we see them advertised and published in the newspaper. That's 30 million of people in this world been, heard the Louise Palau that been giving the speech or something like that.
I then asked the young man if he would be going.
Maybe if time's allowed, definitely I will go with my friends. I hear what I can get.
How much do you know about Christianity from your friends? Do you understand what Christianity is about?
Very few, very little. Because I'm not a Christian, I'm a Buddhist. And I only attend and go to the church when I was in school. That was 8 years ago.
We trust that this young man, along with many others, will not only attend the service, but will find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now here at the stadium, the meeting's about ready to get underway, so we'll take you there with the Reverend Lawrence Kong.
It's good to see each of you here tonight.
真是很高兴看到每一位在我们当中.
But to be very honest, I can't see very well from so far away.
只讲实话,我实在看不到你的面孔.
But I know that all of us here on the platform wish we can shake your hands personally and welcome you here.
我相信在我们讲台的每一位希望跟你握手来问安.
Reverend Paul Chang took my opening way of greetings by having you turn around to shake hands with one another.
当宝华牧师已经抢了我要请你们每一位握手跟你们隔壁的
But I'm going to do it again. But this time, say something else. Say, praise the Lord as you shake hands with one another.
我请你们再做一次,这一次请你跟你的隔壁说赞美主.
Can you do that? Just turn around to one another, shake the hand and say, praise the Lord.
好不好,你向着你隔壁哪一位说赞美主.
Amen.
Amen.
And I believe it is by divine appointment that Dr. Louise Palau could be here with us in Singapore bringing God's message.
我也相信是神的带领,所以巴欧勒博士今天晚上在新加坡来向你传福音.
And he have asked me this evening to give him a couple of minutes to say hello to everybody in this opening evening of the mission.
他要求我给他几分钟向你们来自欢迎.
Dr. Palau, come and say a few words for us.
巴欧勒博士请你来跟我们讲几句话.
Thank you very, very much.
非常感谢你们每一位.
How exciting to be at the stadium with such a big crowd on the opening night.
在今天晚上布道会开始，我们看见这么多的人，心里边好兴奋啊.
This morning we went to a prison.
今天早上我们到一个监狱去.
And we were speaking to 400 prisoners.
我们向400位监犯讲道.
And all 72 of them gave their lives to Christ this morning at the prison.
今早在.
Amen. God be the glory. Amen.
今早在监狱里边有72位监犯，他们把身心奉献给主耶稣.
And then yesterday morning we were here with 7,000 to 10,000 children right here, and 800 and some of them gave their lives to Jesus.
在昨天早上.
Amen.
在昨天早上我们有一万的小朋友们聚集在这边听主的福音, 有800多位小朋友他们也将身心奉献给主.
I thank God for the executive committee that invited myself and the team to come to Singapore to preach the gospel.
我要感谢筹备委员会，他们邀请我和布道队来新加坡布道。
I thank God for Dr. Benjamin Chu and the Reverend Alfred Yeo, the leaders of the mission, the organization.
为做这一次筹备会的领袖，周边亚美医生。 杨志恒牧师，我为他们感谢神。
And one of the great joys has been the enthusiasm, the contagious enthusiasm of the believers here in Singapore.
我与他们同工的时候发觉一件事情，就是他们有一种传染性的热诚。
And to see you all out there in the stands is a guarantee that God is working in Singapore.
我看见你们坐在这边，我们深信主要将
I loved it last night when we started out with the choir and the counselors and the ushers.
昨天晚上我们在介绍的时候，我们介绍了诗班。 辅导员跟那一些其他的服侍的同工。
And I want to ask the choir, choir, how are you?
诗班你们好吗?
All right. I think we got a great choir, don't we, Dr. Chu?
Dr. Benjamin Chu is the chairman of the executive committee, and we've already come to love and appreciate him and others who have been so deeply involved in the preparation for these meetings. Dr. Chu is a retired physician, whose warm and gracious spirit seems to filter down through the organization. I asked him a couple of days ago about his expectations for these meetings.
This is the beginning of very great things for Singapore. We usually expect this stadium definitely to be fairly packedly full, but the impact on the city, I think, will be just tremendous. Because, you know, in Singapore, the Lord is already working. Churches are very evangelistic-minded, and are growing, and then everywhere individuals are open to the gospel. And Singapore obviously should be a spiritual center, a center for Christian outreach, going out to the rest of Asia. I think it's marvelous the Lord has planned for Louis to come here and make Singapore the first Asian country that he's reaching out to.
Have you ever seen this degree of cooperation among the various religious leaders?
We reached a quite remarkable level of cooperation in 1977, 78 with the Billy Graham Crusade. And of course, before that, 2 years before that, we had a Here's Life campaign started off by the Campus Crusade for Christ. I think we can compare the degree of cooperation then as quite remarkable. But it's nothing whatever compared to the present degree of cooperation we have.
How about the non-Christian groups that are here? Do you get any feedback from them? What are they expecting? What are they thinking about this?
The non-Christian groups, I think they're beginning to get aware of us. But there's no opposition whatever from the Buddhists, from the Muslims. There's no opposition whatever.
That was Dr. Benjamin Chu, chairman of the executive committee of the Luis Palau Singapore Mission. I think I understood the lack of opposition a little better after a conversation I had in one of Singapore's larger Hindu temples.
I'm a Swami, an Indian monk, and going about all over the world, spreading God's love and light to everybody. Bore them a little bit.
Pardon?
Bore them a little bit.
Bore a little bit.
I then asked him why it was that Hindus seemed to be somewhat tolerant of Christians.
One day everybody has to come to the same point, sooner or later. Why? Because ultimately when you develop a little consciousness, then you understand, after all, your hunger and my hunger, your joy and my joy, your unhappiness, my happiness. As human beings, we are all reacting and responding to the same way. So what does it matter to which path you take, where you go, if ultimately they're going to reach truth, which is God, joy, which is God, peace, which is God.
Moving over to a Buddhist temple, we hear the bell ringing, and the young man explains to me that that's because someone has just made a donation, a contribution. The sounds of Islam are also present here in Singapore, either on the streets or possibly on television, a call to prayer or the reading of the Quran. No lack of religion in Singapore, but Luis Palau has come here to tell these people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Working with him, a very impressive team of people on the local committee, such as Dr. Benjamin Chu and Reverend Alfred Yeo and others that you'll be meeting later on. The very positive impressions of Singapore and its people are shared by all of us who have traveled here to this country to be a part of this mission. Last week, Dr. Luis Palau met with the secular press and shared his impressions.
It's a great lesson for me to come to Singapore to learn about Asia, because it's such a mix of cultures. I'm being instructed on all the various nations, and I'm learning so much. My mind is swimming with lessons, especially what not to do, you know. And I'm trying to be very wise and careful. But it's just marvelous to read of the history of your nation and about the freedom and the justice that you've been able to implant. You may not know it, but overseas, Singapore is written about all the time as a model of what a society can be, where you have multiracial, multireligious mix of people, and the way that in only 25, 27 years you've seen such progress. And so you read articles everywhere you go, in Europe, in America, in Latin America. Many nations envy what's happened here. And it has been a pleasure to come and see it last October when I came for a quick visit getting ready. And now on this trip where I will be here for 2 weeks. It's not only beautiful physically, I love tropical climates, of course, but you've made it into a garden. A tropical climate can be a jungle, too, but you've made it into a beautiful place. So I'm really delighted.
It's always interesting to observe the reaction of the local secular press to a Christian leader such as Dr. Luis Palau. One of the reporters for the Straits Times, a leading newspaper, made an interesting comparison between Mr. Palau and another Argentinian. She said, "About 6 hours before star footballer Diego Maradona lifts the hearts of more than 70,000 fans in Mexico City's Olympic Stadium, another Argentine would have tried to touch the hearts of about 100,000 Singaporeans in our national stadium. But the Argentine's mission in Singapore is not to score goals, but to save souls." And she continued with that article making the comparison. During the course of the week, we'll have opportunity on these broadcasts to get a better understanding of the various cultural groups and races that make up Singapore and the impact of the gospel on each of them. We're also looking forward to a variety of music from these groups, as well as the Crusade Choir, made up of more than 3,000 voices. The Reverend Paul Chang directs them, and I see we're about to hear from them now. So
he was searching for satisfaction. No matter what your age may be tonight, the Lord says to you, "I can give you eternal life." This young man had an enormous need in his heart. He was hungry for reality. He had a hunger for God. He had an inner emptiness. An inner loneliness and despair. And you know, there are many young people who are taking their lives even today. I was reading about a certain country in Asia where students are taking their life at an alarming rate. And that's how this young man felt. He's on his knees before Jesus. He says, "Master, how can I get eternal life?" I can imagine the crowd coming around to listen to what was going on. What he was really saying is this: "Lord, I am more than mere flesh. My heart thirsts for God, the living God. Yes, I am rich and I am young and I am respected. But teacher, I want eternal life." And Jesus says to him, "You know what you lack? Only one thing, that's all." What was it? "I can offer you that one thing," Jesus says. "You need a king, young man. You need an authority to govern your life. The Bible says it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." We must get the ego off the throne and put Christ in control. And I want to ask you here in Singapore tonight, all of you young men and women, fathers and mothers, have you ever bowed the knee to Jesus? And what Jesus said to that young man in the Palestine 2,000 years ago, he says to you in Singapore tonight in 1986, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. Jesus says to you tonight in 1986 the same words. He says, I give you eternal life, you shall never perish, no one can snatch you out of my hand. You want eternal life tonight? You want to be sure that you have eternal life? The Bible says God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. But if you lack one thing, then you've missed it all. Jesus says to this young fellow who's still on his knees, he says, young man, either I am your God or I'm not your God. Either I live in your heart or I don't. And I ask you tonight in Singapore, in Jesus' name, have you got Jesus Christ in your heart tonight? Yes or no? Have you ever opened your heart to Jesus Christ? Do you have eternal life? You may be a very moral person. You may have all the money you need. You may even have position and power. But do you have eternal life? Are you sure that you have eternal life? If I were to ask you tonight, could you stand up and say, yes, I've got eternal life? But if you don't have eternal life, you can open your heart even right now. And Jesus said to this young man, you only lack one thing, that's all. And now comes the moment of decision for this young man. Jesus calls him to an instant decision. Did you notice? And he was still on his knees in front of the Lord Jesus, looking up into the face of Jesus, waiting for an answer. And he says, Master, all these commandments I've always kept. And tonight here in Singapore, Jesus is asking you for a decision tonight. The first thing he tells him is this. You must give up your idol, young man. You must get rid of whatever stands in the way between you and me. This young man's idol was money. What stands between you and Jesus tonight? Whatever stands between you and Jesus, you've got to give it up. It was very simple, really. To open your heart to Christ is simplicity itself. All you have to do is give yourself up 100% to Jesus Christ. You've got to open your heart to Christ. And you've got to surrender 100%. Jesus says to you, it's all or nothing, that's all. And Jesus says to him five commands. Go, sell, give, come, follow. In other words, action. And Jesus says to you tonight, you must take a step of faith. What does it mean to follow Jesus? First of all, he says, confess me before men. The Bible says if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you, my dear friends, tonight, you may have a Chinese background or an Indian background. You may be Filipino or European tonight. You may be Australian or you may be from Malaysia. Wherever you come from, the Lord Jesus is for you tonight. It doesn't matter what your religious background has been. If you want to have the assurance of eternal life, listen to what the Lord says to you right now. The Bible says the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross so that whoever believes in him can have eternal life. And you can have eternal life tonight. Don't let this opportunity go by. I want to give you an invitation in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because you can have eternal life. According to the Bible, you can have the assurance of eternal life. You can know that your sins are all forgiven. Because on the cross, Jesus took care of our sins. We were singing a few minutes ago, there's power in the blood of Jesus. You say, Luis, I don't understand that. How can it be Jesus died 2,000 years ago? How could he take my sins away when I was born in the 20th century? That's the beauty of the mystery of the cross of Christ. God knew you and loved you even before you were born. And Jesus loved this young man just like he loves you tonight. He knew all the sins that all of us in this stadium would commit before we were born. And yet on that cross, God laid on Jesus the sins of us all. And Jesus says to you tonight, listen, I did it all on the cross. I've already paid for your sin. I already gave my blood for you. I suffered for you. I was buried for you. I was punished for you. And I rose from the dead for you. And Jesus says to you, I'm alive tonight. Jesus is not in a tomb in Palestine. Jesus is alive tonight. He's alive and he's here in the stadium tonight. And he wants to come into your life. And he says, let me come in, let me come in. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And you know, you wish that the story of this young man had been a happy story. But did you notice what happened? The Bible says that his face fell. Because he had many possessions. And he wasn't willing to give them to Jesus Christ. The Bible says he got up from his knees. His face was long and sad.
And
the Bible says he walked away sad. He was not willing to give it all to Jesus Christ. And some of you are going to leave this stadium tonight just like this young man. You've heard the call of Jesus Christ. You know what he wants you to do. He says to you, young man, give me your heart.
Young woman,
give me your heart. He says to you as a married man or woman, give me your life. Give me your family. I will bless you. I'll forgive you. I'll bless your life. I'll change your life. He wants to get a hold of your life tonight. And he wants to give you eternal life. But you must make the decision. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into you and I will eat with you. And you will eat with me. Jesus says to you tonight in Singapore, I have brought you here because I want you. I am knocking at the door of your heart. And here you are seated in this great stadium. And you may feel very lonely up there in the stands. And you may say, can God see me? Does he know my heart? He knows you by name. He knows all about you. He loves you. No matter what you've done, he loves you. And he's knocking at the door of your heart right now.